Welcome to the All Things Protest podcast. On today's episode, we're going to mix things up a bit. Instead of our usual roundtable discussion, Rob will be interviewing our colleague Mark Reese about the exciting world of classified protests. Mark is a retired Army JAG with extensive experience litigating all manner of protests and claims, including those in the classified arena. Take us away, Rob.
Thanks, Olivia. And thank you, Mark, for joining us this episode. I know you've been dying to share your insights with us, at least those that you can share given the classified topic. And we're happy to have you.
Well, thank you, Olivia and Rob. I'm thrilled to be here. I've been a big fan of the podcast since its very beginnings, and I'm really excited to be a guest here. Happy to talk about the various rules and procedures of litigating classified protests.
Sounds good. Why don't we start with the basics? And by that, I do mean the very basics. Can you protest classified procurements? I sincerely hope so, or this is going to be a short podcast.
Yes. Yes, you can. I'll leave it to the audience to fill in their favorite classified information joke there. But yes, you can certainly litigate classified protests or protests of procurements involving classified information, because there is kind of a variety of those types of procurements. They are protestable. So we should be able to have a good discussion here this morning.
Great. So, all right, a little bit more substantive. Where can you file a classified protest? We know with typical protests, you can go to the agency, to GAO, or to the Court of Federal Claims. Are all three forms available for a classified protest?
Yes, as far as the forms go, all three are available for classified protests as well as non-classified protests. And in that regard, there is little to no difference between protests with classified information and those without. One potential difference that folks might want to be aware of is at GAO and the Court of Federal Claims specifically, the personnel at those forums, the GAO attorneys and the judges at the Court of Federal Claims, not all of them have clearances, and not all of them have clearances at the various levels that may be implicated in a given protest. And so the potential pool of folks that would be deciding your classified protest is narrower at each of those forums. At the agency level, since it's the agency conducting the classified procurement, I would expect that the folks responsible for making a decision on an agency level protest would have that requisite clearance.
In your experience, is it more common to file a classified protest or a protest involving classified information at a particular forum, or does it really run the gamut and follow the same considerations with normal protests?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it raises one of the implications that we have involving that type of information across the board, which is that there is next to no information about agency-level protests generally, and as you can imagine, there's even less about classified agency-level protests. And so in terms of that particular forum or deciding to file it at an agency level, the best we can say is anecdotally, you would employ the same sorts of considerations that you would in any other protest situation. You know, the thought that perhaps at an agency level, you will not run the same sort of customer relations risks that you might otherwise if you file an agency level protest. But as far as sheer numbers, we just don't know. And then as between GAO and the Court of Federal Claims, I think it, again, follows the same sort of breakdown where you've got, by and large, the greater number that go to the GAO, and that the considerations between the two are generally the same. One small difference between the two is that the court has more formal procedures in place for handling classified information and for determining what documents are in the administrative record. And that may color the decision as to which forum to go to. The court is, of course, required to consider national security in crafting its remedy, and I'm sure we'll get into remedies here in a minute.
Yes, we'll get into remedies, and we'll also get into some of the formalized procedures in a minute. First, though, I'd like to ask about some of the differences between the court and GAO, and less so difference, but more so just a practical question. Can you still go to the court after filing a classified GAO protest as you could in a normal procurement protest?
Yes, you can absolutely do that, and you see the same sorts of decision-making processes employed in that situation, and the same sorts of benefits that at the GAO level, the record may be developed to a certain extent, but perhaps not fully developed, given the GAO's regulations concerning the agency report as compared to the administrative record before the court. So you may still see, again, that benefit of the more fulsome record at the court and having gone through the GAO process first.
Gotcha. Everybody loves a second bite of the apple protest. Mark, let's now turn to the remedies a bit. Obviously, in a typical protest, you have a wide range of remedies, you know, cancel the solicitation, amend the RFP, conduct discussions, reevaluate proposals, a whole host of remedies. Are all of those remedies on the table in a typical classified protest, or is there any inherent differences in the available remedies?
No, there are two. The similarities between classified protests and non-classified protests are more prevalent than the differences. The available range of remedies remains the same. The difference will be then in how GAO or the court may determine which is the appropriate remedy in that particular case, given the national security implications, whether they be tied directly to the classified information itself or tied to the underlying aspects of the procurement that may tend toward one remedy or the other, and in some ways may tend towards a less fulsome remedy or a less desirable remedy. If the agency can put forward credible information that national security implications restrict various remedies that may otherwise be available, that may be something that comes up in this arena.
So substantively, it sounds like classified protests are going to be very similar to non-classified protests as far as where you can file, the arguments you can raise, and the available remedies. Let's talk about a little bit of procedure and how the sausage is made. So what are some of the procedural differences when you're litigating a classified protest?
Well, I think they start from the very beginning. And for these purposes, we'll go through kind of each of the three forums. The starting point should be the solicitation. Oftentimes, when you're involved in a procurement that includes classified information, the solicitation will provide specific directions as to how to go about filing a protest, and not just how to do an agency protest, which is a fairly normal solicitation provision, and then allowing the GAO process to be defined by regulations. The solicitation in this context may include specific direction about GAO protests as well. From the agency protest perspective, of course, just follow the solicitation provisions or other agency guidelines if they've published those for the particular type of classified procurement you may be involved in. For the GAO protests, it's a little bit different than normal. And in this regard, it probably makes sense to take a step back here and talk about the fact that there are many, many different ways in which this can arise. There are different agencies across the spectrum that deal with classified information and classified procurements. And those different agencies have different internal processes of how to deal with things. You'll find some agencies that preclude identifying the agency itself in any public document. You'll find agencies that preclude sending anything outside of the agency. And then you've got different levels of classification, different levels of classified information. And the higher up the levels of classified information you go, of course, the more restrictions you encounter and the more implications you have to the procedure. But painting with a broad brush for GAO level protests, the newly published GAO regulations now expressly state that protesters are to communicate with GAO ahead of filing a protest and receive GAO's guidance on how to go about filing a GAO protest that involves classified information. And I'll just stump this one real hard. Never, ever file anything containing classified information directly with GAO. Never put it on the new EPDS system. Never send it by email. All of those sorts of restrictions, of course. Generally speaking, the way it will work is you'll follow the instructions in the solicitation to the extent there are some. You will contact GAO, provide them the information you can. Again, you have to rely on the agency's guidance as to what information can be shared in an unsecured manner, so over the telephone with GAO. And to the extent you can, then, again, in a general situation, most likely you're going to file your protest directly with the agency, with the contracting officer. You want to make sure that it is styled as a GAO protest so that it's not mistaken as an agency-level protest if that's not what you're intending to do. But you would file that protest directly with the contracting officer, and then separately you would provide a one-page letter to the GAO, and this is where you have to be really careful to only include information that the agency allows you to include in that letter. But essentially you're notifying GAO that you have filed a GAO level protest directly with the agency following agency procedures. And in this way, this process is unchanged from the pre-EPDS days to now. And so this is kind of still going to be an older style process, at least for the foreseeable future. For the Court of Federal Claims, it's kind of similar to that. So as we know, you file a pre-filing notice with the Department of Justice before you're going to file a Court of Federal Claims protest. That pre-filing notice should indicate that you, the protester, anticipate that the protest will include classified information and the level of that information, again, to the extent agency procedures allow you to disclose that. And that information, that notice, allows DOJ to ensure that the attorney they assign to the protest has the required clearance level to be able to handle the protest. And then your protest actually starts with the filing of the complaint. That must be a publicly filed complaint on ECF. And so here again, you have to be really careful that that complaint does not include any classified information, because just like EPDS, it cannot put any classified information onto the court's electronic filing system. Along with your complaint, and here's kind of the difference, and it's similar to that one-page letter to GAO, the court has a notice of intent to file classified information document. And so along with your complaint and the host of other associated documents you file along with that initial complaint, there's another filing with another document with this batch filing to put the court on notice that you intend to do that. In this case, generally, I think you would not file your classified complaint, if you will, with the contracting officer at that point. You would want to make sure that it's prepared, of course, at that time, and that any classified aspect to your complaint that you hold in an appropriate facility until the court gives you directions as to how to go about filing that.
Thanks, Mark. That was incredibly detailed and incredibly instructive. For our listeners' benefit, is there somewhere simple and easy that they can go to find all of these rules and procedures laid out in a succinct fashion? Or is this really one of those circumstances where you just recommend that folks contact counsel early to get guidance moving forward with these processes?
Well, I certainly recommend contacting counsel early. I think we'll probably talk about next how important that is to ensure that you have them available through the protest process. For GAO, there's really only that one line in the regulations indicating to contact GAO for guidance. That's essentially it. For the Court of Federal Claims, you'll find a link on the website, and I think we'll probably link it from the podcast page, where the court has, I think it's a 4 to 5 page guidelines document as to how to file a classified protest. It's pretty user-friendly in that regard.
Yes, we'll definitely link that to the podcast. That'll be available on the publication for this episode. Mark, if you could emphasize one or two aspects about classified protests that our listeners should really take away from this podcast, what would those be?
I would put them all under the context of early preparation is key. And that includes internal preparation, ensuring that if you have in-house counsel, to the extent you can, you make sure that you have an in-house counsel who's got the requisite clearance and can provide the internal advice and coordinate with outside counsel. That you coordinate with outside counsel early. Getting access to classified information through an agency takes time, and waiting until after an award decision to go through that process may prejudice your ability to actually prosecute a protest. And I would say that applies to the awardee as well. This is not just a matter for those who may think they are going to need to protest, but in order to defend your award, you're going to need that cleared outside counsel as well. And then understanding through the process that just every aspect of the litigation takes a lot more time, a lot more resources, and a lot more company resources than normal protests to support the classified aspects of the litigation.
Mark, great advice. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Mark. That's a wrap for this episode of the All Things Protest podcast. We hope this discussion has been helpful for you, our listeners. If you have any questions for Mark, or if there are any topics you would like to hear about on future podcast episodes, feel free to contact us. Until next time, thanks for listening.
The All Things Protest podcast is presented by Kroll & Mooring and hosted by Olivia Lynch, Rob Sneckenberg, and Christian Curran. You can find the materials discussed today on Kroll.com or on our blog, The Government Contracts Legal Forum.